Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you on the show today, brought to you by good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. And today's show, brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. Bundles to save you money. They'll come up ways to save you money if they can. And they'll make sure you're fully insured. They're the pros because customer service means everything to them. At Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. All right. I was talking about Peter King. He's going to do one more column next week. I think it's going to be reader questions. But I thought, look, there's an insight that only certain people can give you. And there's some really good writers out there. There's no question about that. But for 40 years, when somebody sets a standard, it's a standard for professionalism, how to do things the right way, coming up with new ideas, and making it work. I mean, think of the thousands of miles just doing a training camp, for goodness sakes. The training camp tour? Oh, my goodness. Not just covering games, but covering training camp. And he did a podcast on Sirius. Miles, I can't remember Miles' last name. I apologize. That was really good. I really enjoyed it. And profession will be poor for him not being there. He won't admit that. He would never even acknowledge that I would say that. It's not like, and he talks about some of the Monday morning columns that you should take a look at with his fading away here. He mentions Albert Breer at SI, right? He always says he has great coverage on an NFL weekend on Mondays. Mike Sando of The Athletic, Monday morning. He said a 26-year-old by the name of Ben Solak with The Ringer. And Peter says he's high on him. And, of course, Mike Florio of NBC. He does write something in here, is the expansion of NFL media. And this is something I've talked about before, as you know, Todd, that more and more media is going internal. And as you know, I've talked about that, about media going internal. And am I a part of internal media? Of course I am. I've been a part of internal media for a long, long time with Penn State. So, I understand that. But, like, for example, in terms of access with some of the Patriots players, for example, it's just the Patriots group that gets to do that. Okay. And you're seeing more and more of that.
I'm less concerned about it in the sense of, kind of what you do, than more of the NFL and Major League Baseball controlling some of it, just because, we've talked about the Jim Trotter situation,
yes,
with NFL Network, yep, and questioning the NFL and losing his job. It's just, if part of the job is finding out the bad things, and part of the NFL's job is to make sure you don't find out the bad things, and that's something that is diametrically opposed, And the the entity with the most money is going to win that battle, and that's the NFL.
Right, and that's what, you know, you have media contracts across the board. And I'll give you a concern from the NFL was that Roger Goodell, now, Pete Rozelle, when he would do the State of the League, he would do it on Friday before the Super Bowl. Now, at that point, all the media is in town and all the media that was credentialed was invited. Then it got moved to Wednesdays, and I think that may have been when Paul Tagliabue was there. It got moved to Wednesday, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. It's in the middle of the week, right? But this year it was Monday. First time ever. And not only was it Monday, it was invitation only. Invitation only. I mean, here Peter mentions Mike Florio as a, you know, a source to look at and so forth. Mike Florio did not get an invitation to go. Really? No offense. He seems legit to me. There's a legit media covering. I don't know about you.
Well, I think if he's inviting people, he doesn't want people that are going to question him like some of the questions that Mike Florio is going to ask.
I mean, but again, if you're good at it, you can sit there and you can take the heat, answer the questions. It's good. It's all good. I mean, you have the ability to do that. He did a great job of, you know, he did, you know. You got people like Mike Florio, Don Van Atta Jr. He mentioned Seth Wickersham. And then he mentioned Mina Kimes, Jordan Rodrigue, who, by the way, spent part of her career here in State College. We've had Jordan on the show many, many times. Many times. And she's terrific. And Nikki Javala, who's been on our show many times. We've had Nikki on here a lot. Diana Rossini, no, we never had her on. Kalen Kaler. Yeah. And then he delivers praise, by the way, to Scott Hansen and Red Zone. And I've said this before. He calls Scott Hansen a treasure. Well, we had Hansen on. I said, I'm sorry. I don't see how anybody can sit there for 7.5, 8 hours and not make a mistake. He says, Steve, I make mistakes. I said, when? I admire what Hansen does so much on a Sunday. You know how much that takes to sit there and just, I mean, in the middle, he's got to pick up play-by-play. He can do it, right? He's got to cover up something else. He can do it. I mean, Hansen's really good, and Hansen's a good guy. Hansen does a lot of stuff for charity that a lot of people may not realize, going down to Central America, helping to build homes in the off-season, things like that. Hansen's just a really good guy. Then he mentioned Peyton and Eli Manning, how much they meant, and then a couple of other things along the way. So, I mean, look, you know certain things are going to happen at certain times, but then when it does happen, you're like, oh. So did I expect Peter King to retire, you know, announce that, like, this, he's going to phase out? No. I just expected him to go into next season.
Yeah, I was a little stunned when I saw that this morning. I mean, that's man, I can't think of the last time on Monday morning I didn't read that, one. And two, you know, he's one of the ones that is the first one to kind of bring family into it, too, because you always felt like, you know, I was sad when the Golden Retriever passed away. You know, you know all about his daughter's, both daughters' sports careers.
Oh, the softball? Oh, God, yeah.
Things like that, and he's one of the first one that kind of, you know, when he was able to expand it on SI.com, that was really able to kind of mold all that stuff together into something entertaining.
Yeah, no question. I'm glad he talked about nice guys, quarterbacks he's dealt with over the years. Number two, by the way, was Boomer Esiason. All right, well, I was doing believe it or not, State College Spikes play the Brooklyn Cyclones. And, of course, as you mentioned, my late friend Warner Fusell was the voice of the Cyclones, and I bring him up in my broadcasting class all the time because he always told me, he says, Steve, he said, you still teaching that class? I said, sure am, Warner. He says, well, you tell them they can't say the inning and score enough. And I quote him every year in class on that. Well, Boomer Esiason, so I'm doing this game. It was the night that Josh Hamilton had that big night in the home run contest, which I think was at Yankee Stadium, wasn't it?
That I cannot answer.
I think it was at Yankee Stadium. Well, that night, WFAN was doing the Spike Cyclones game, and Boomer was the analyst. So before the game, he comes over and we're just chit chatting for a little bit. So I said to him, "Is your mom still raising Newfoundlands?" And he goes, "What?" He says, "You know about that?" I says, "Yeah." So we must have talked for 20 minutes about Newfoundlands, which was the last thing in the face of the earth he expected he was going to talk about. But he was just great to converse with. But these are the quarterbacks he mentioned. Right, you mentioned Peyton Manning, number one. Boomer, second. Tom Brady, third. Kirk Cousins, Geno Smith, Phil Simms, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Matt Ryan, and Dak Prescott, Drew Brees, and Charlie Batch. Others, besides quarterbacks, Calais Campbell, Harry Carson, Fred Warner, Cam Hayward, Jason Kelsey, John Randall, a guy that Jack Ham talks about during the course of the year, if he mentions his name four or five times in the course of the year, Anthony Munoz, Joe Thomas, Daryl Green, and we had Daryl Green on way back when, and Larry Fitzgerald. So. Okay. Jimmy Johnson, one late night, says to Peter, quote, he says, "Peter, if you, quote, F me on this story, I will squash you like a squirrel in the road." When Jimmy Johnson was coaching the University of Miami, I was at the AMI basketball classic, and Penn State was going to play Miami in the Fiesta Bowl. Well, it turned out that Penn State was going to play basketball on a Friday. In fact, Penn State practiced at Miami at the on-campus night center on that Thanksgiving day, and then they're going to play that night football against East Carolina. So this was a golden opportunity for me to get as many interviews as possible to preview the Fiesta Bowl. And I was already on the Penn State network at the time, but I was the third announcer on the network. I was far from being the lead guy. Okay. And when it was over, I went around, and I got Vinny Testaverde, I got Melvin Bratton, I got Michael Irvin, I got George Myra Jr. I mean, I'm going through a long list of guys I got. I think I'm pretty good about it. And then I got Jimmy Johnson. When I was done interviewing Jimmy Johnson, he says, "So you were at the Penn State Network?" I said, "Yeah." He says, "We're having a little get-together with people up in the top floor of the Orange Bowl." He says, "Why don't you come with me?" He says, "But if you report anything out of there," he says, "I will hunt you down." I said, "Okay." I said, "I'm known for not talking, because as you know, I don't like. I mean, I talk on the show, but like how much like like speaking out of turn, that normally is, as you know, not part of my MO." I said, "Well, I'm known for not talking, but I'm not supposed to." He says, "Perfect," which I did. It was interesting. So, yeah, so I sort of got the same speech in a different realm. How about that? But he didn't say that. He didn't say if I effed him. He said, "Nope, you're fine." It was interesting, too. Very interesting. I enjoyed it. Got to know some other people, which is great. So.
Probably would have been a different animal in Southern Florida.
First of all, it was Thanksgiving night, and it was warm and humid. It wasn't hot and humid. It was warm and humid. And then the next day, Penn State played LaSalle. And it was the opening game of the season. This shows you how late the season is. I mean, this upcoming season, you know, when Penn State opens its season in 24-25, they're going to open November 4th. Okay, that's opening night this year. Well, here it is. It's Thanksgiving weekend, and Penn State... And I think Thanksgiving was earlier that year. Was it Thanksgiving weekend? Yeah, it was right around there because they played on a Thursday night. I think it was Thanksgiving night. And Penn State was going to play in the AMI Classic. And the next day they opened with LaSalle in the AMI Classic in the Knight Center, not the practice facility, that was attached to the Hyatt Regency. And and it was Lionel Simmons' first game. Now, Dick Girardi covered the vast majority of Lionel Simmons' career that ended up with better than 3,000 points. But he wasn't on the in the like the first half season or something like that. So I always have said to him, I said, gee, the first 17 points of Lionel Simmons' career I broadcast. And Penn State won the game. And then Penn State won the tournament. They beat Miami in the championship game, and Brian Allen was the MVP at 27 points in the title game. And it's interesting how it goes full circle. Penn State in 1990 made the NIT Final Four in Madison Square Garden. The dinner to lead in, they don't do these dinners anymore, was a tavern on the green. And guess who's there as part of the dinner, as part of getting a National Player of the Year award? It's Lionel Simmons. So I went up to him and I told him who I was, what I did. I said, you know, what do you have, 3,177 points, whatever it was, right? I said, geez. I said, you know what's really cool about that? I said, I broadcast the first 17 games, first 17 points of your career. He goes, you're kidding. He says, that's right. We played Penn State first. I said, yeah. He said, talk about full circle. Because at this point, he's a senior. So, amazing stories. Fun stories. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Did the suit report to work today? Or?
Yeah, he's here. It's a long weekend.
No exhausting trip to Allentown.
Nope.
Tunkhannock.
Not that I know of.
To his sheets. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. What is this, the Suits theme song? What is that? What is it? All right. Really?
That's one of the few that I've called up that I did not recognize what the song was.
Oh, it's entitled Afternoon Delight.
Oh, I don't know the first. I know the words. I do not know the opening line, the opening music to it, I guess.
This isn't name that tune. I mean, I can do that tune in two notes. Bing, bing. Oh, yeah. And these people know, like, who are we dealing with here? When Dick Girardi and I decided to have a little bit of fun and we played Jeopardy on the road. It seems like it goes a lot smoother when Joe Putnam's with us. He knows stuff too. Us look at each other and go, really? He was the third string point guard for the Athens Greek League team. And it's like, okay. Woo! Oh, geez. So. Unreal. All right. Dick and I were talking about the Penn State-Indiana game in the first half hour of the show. I never did tell you it was going to be on. Sorry.
As long as I don't have to call him, yeah. We were good.
And by the way, tomorrow's show is from Iowa City.
Okay.
So, Penn State's flying out this afternoon. They're going to actually shoot in there tonight. You get to see that big number 22 on the floor. Yeah.
Did you get the cereal?
No.
They sent out the stuff for Caitlin Clark's Player of the Year stuff, I guess, this weekend, and one of the things was everybody got a box of cereal with their name and autograph on it.
Oh, jeez. What, they don't think she's going to win it? Is there somebody that in that promotion office that doesn't think she's going to win it?
Hey, I thought that was, honestly, that was my thought too, but
I was just happy today when Zach Edey announced he wasn't coming back next year. My God!
Well, he did the same thing last year and he came back. I don't know. You might have to.
Oh, he did not. No, he never announced about.
Oh, I thought he did not announce he wasn't.
No, he did not. Nope. We kept waiting and I kept saying he's going to stay. He's going to stay. Because, no offense, there was nowhere to go.
Is there now?
Well, I don't know. But after a while, there has to be a desire to move on and find out.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, sponsored by Prudy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And our show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. Customer service means everything to them, which means they're working hard for you. You're not a number. Your needs are the needs they want to take care of. They want to make sure you're fully insured. They want to make sure they save you money. Customer service is everything. It's not just umbrella. It's what you need. That's all at our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. I agree with what Dick said in the opening half hour. I said, look, Penn State didn't play a great game on Saturday, but they're better than Indiana. They're a quicker team than Indiana. They're a more cohesive team than Indiana. And with all due respect, as of right now, they're probably a better coach team than Indiana. I mean, you can only go with what you have to work with. But, you know, Mike's done a great job with this group. Not a good job. He's done a great job with this group. I mean, you take over 10 new players. And for him, he takes over 11 new players. Because obviously Nick and Ace, Nick Curran and Ace Baldwin, the two guys he already had, came with him. And you try to mold it. And sometimes it takes a while. And look, we walked out of, they go down to Orlando and Penn State's 4-0. And that was Thanksgiving weekend, so I did that game on Thanksgiving Day. Then I flew to Detroit, did the football game on the Friday night, and then I flew back Saturday to Orlando and finished out and did the game with VCU on Sunday down there. And you walked out of there after those three games and went, oh, man. Okay, there's some work that needs to be done, right? So there's work that needs to be done. And along the way, then they had the Bucknell game. And John Griffin and his staff did a great job in the Bucknell game. Not a good job, did a great job. And they did a great job of getting Bucknell ready, played really, really well. Now, but from the Penn State point of view, it's not obviously the result you're thinking going into the day. So at this point, you're like, okay. And then, of course, the game with Georgia Tech at Madison Square Garden, as I said at the time in the broadcast, I always thought that a prerequisite to a foul is you had to actually touch somebody. That's just a bad, bad call. Thanks. Okay. Whatever you want. Yep. We're talking about modems here. The great people at Comcast are here. So I wanted to make sure I didn't go off the air. I said, I don't think you're going to knock me off the air. I thought we had a separate deal down here. But who knows? Like, I'm the last person to ask. Like, yeah, sure, whatever. I have no idea. But you don't know what's going to happen. Then, you know, okay, you split the two Big Ten games. That helped. The Georgia Tech thing is, and then you start out the January schedule at Michigan State, and you get pounded. Then they bounce back and beat Michigan. You know, and things are going along. And all of a sudden, when they started winning the games, the three in a row really helped. And now they've won two in a row here. So they've won, what, 5 out of 8 or something like that, whatever the number happens to be at this point. And they have themselves at the moment, at this hour, they would be the number 8 seed in the Big Ten tournament. They're tied with Iowa, but because they beat Iowa, they would be the 8 seed. I would be the 9. Now, here's the difference that makes, just so everybody knows. If you're the 8 seed as opposed to the 9, that means you get to wear the white jerseys. And if you're the 9, you get to wear the darker jerseys. Okay, that's the difference between 8 and 9. Either way, the winner would play Purdue. Okay. All right. So, that is, that's where they are now with 3 to play. Then they go to Minnesota Saturday, and then they have the bye week, which is cleverly put as the last week of the season, really. And then they have Maryland here on a Sunday night. Now, the key is to somehow at this stage, make sure you get out of Wednesday night and get yourself to Thursday, which at this hour they would be with work to do. So especially if you're playing Sunday night at 7:30, you don't want to get into that deal where you're back playing Wednesday night again. And again, at this hour they would be in the Thursday grouping, which is great. But you have to keep winning. Again, the power of the three-point shot. Indiana made 5 more baskets than Penn State on Saturday and lost. That's because of the power of the three. Penn State made 9 of them. Indiana hit 2 after going 0 for their first 9. Indiana hit 2 very late. Okay? Hit 2 very late. And Penn State outscored them 27-6 at the three-point line. Then, of course, you know, that's a plus 21. Plus, they outscored them by a couple more at the free-throw line. They outscored Indiana 53-20 at the two lines. That's why Dick and I talk all the time about the two lines. And the other combination we talk about all the time is the combination of blocks and steals. Those are the defensive stats. It's not just looking at how many steals you get. How many blocks do you get on top of it? And the block and steals numbers have been really important to Penn State. And you're going up against the team in Indiana that does not get a lot of steals, but they get a lot of blocks. Ware is a terrific weak side shot blocker. So, and then the point I made when John Griffin and I were on, because Jack Ham and I were talking about this, you know, and we just talk about other things. At some point, we'd talk football for maybe half an hour. And he was asking me about basketball. And I said, well, UConn's the best team I've seen. I said, but geez, watch for Houston. I said, I got to give Houston all the credit in the world. They change conferences. These are all new scouting reports, all new personnel, and yet they keep winning. And why? Because they start out with the basic. First of all, they have a point guard. Chet is a terrific point guard. But they play defense. I mean, like, really, and they really play defense. And they're a hard team to get a handle on because of the defense, because they attack you with their defense. They attack passing lanes. They attack you. And they are difficult. And Jack and I were talking today, and I said, yeah, what do you guys always talk about? We always talk about defense travels. Houston has defense. They do.
Going back to Penn State, Steve, I'm assuming you're surprised that they have more Big Ten wins this year than they ended up with last year. I think that's one of the most surprising numbers. Even if it is a different league.
You talking about Houston or Penn State?
No, Penn State.
Penn State had 10 Big Ten wins last year.
Oh, I just looked it up. It said they were 7-13.
Last year? No, that was Micah's first year.
Oh, way to go.
Micah's first year, they were 7-13. They were 10-10 last year, then won 3 in the tournament.
I said 2022, that's why.
Right. Yeah. No, that's fine. That happens. No big deal. Who cares? I mean, really, seriously, that's no big deal. But last year, Penn State played 24 games against Big Ten opponents, and they were 13-11. You know, that's how you get into the tournament. But they were 7-13 in Micah's first year. Here they are at 8-9 in Mike's first year. Now, different. You know, the opponents, their personnel changes. Penn State has a completely new set of people playing, but it also has taken a lot for Mike and his staff to really get to know the league. Conversely, when they're getting ready for you, they just have to get to know you because they already know the other teams in the league. There weren't a lot of coaching changes in this league. Now, there's about to be one at Ohio State, obviously, but there weren't a lot of coaching changes in this league. Okay? And Mike was the coaching change. And they were able to go out and do a great job they've done a great job of scouting. They've done a great job of adjustments, and it's made a big difference. It's not going to be perfect. Dick and I talked about that game at Nebraska a week ago Saturday, and you're like, oh, yay, 40. This team had been below 70 points only 3 times previous to that, with the low water number being 61 in a game they won. That was the game they won at Rutgers. 61 to what, 45, 46, something like that. Right? That had been the low watermark. They scored 49 at Nebraska. Well, I'm watching Minnesota last night. Mitchell's been playing well. Christie's been terrific. Payne's played well. Hawkins is a really good point guard. Mitchell's made a difference. Right? All the way through. And, of course, Dawson Garcia is a terrific inside-out player. Terrific. And guess what? Nebraska's defense, just, they're really good. Really good. And again, I would like to thank Zach Edey for making the decision to not to come back next year. All right. I've done enough, sir. I've done enough Zach Edey games in my career. And there we go. a lot of Zach Edey games in my career. I got a pretty good handle on what he can and can't do. And he is a lot more he can do than he can't.
I can't believe somebody's not going to find at least some way to take advantage of him on the offensive end in the NBA.
It's a different league, Todd. It's different.
Yeah, but he can clear some space to open it up for the shooters. Now, chasing the people around and getting up and down the court are two totally different things.
Yeah. To me, the big guys that you see in this league now that are really effective are the Anthony Davises, the Kristaps Porzingis. Even Julius Randle steps out, he can hit threes. Embiid can step out and hit threes. Like, it's the way. Now, Karl Anthony Towns really doesn't that often.
It is the man that called himself the best shooting big man in history.
Yeah, well, that's great.
okay. Dirk rolls his eyes.
Yeah. I'm really struggling with what he can do at the NBA level. Not because 20 years ago he had been the first overall pick in the draft by a wide margin. They'd be fighting to get him. But now the first overall pick in the draft is reserved for somebody with the inside-out athletic game and size of a Victor Wembanyama.
I mean, obviously, clearly the question is who does he defend, and that's pretty hard to answer with every big guy with that type of game. But
yeah, I mean, look, he's not adventurous at Purdue. Like, you watch, for example, Kudus Wahab, and this is something he had to work at to do. This is part of the maturation of Q, of playing center here. They want you to go out or blitz or tag, as we call it, boom, and get yourself back into position. You know how much running that takes to do that? And it took Q. I mean, Q really hadn't played like that at either Georgetown or Maryland. But it's important for them to get their center to go out and blitz or tag and do it without fouling. And it took a long time in the summer and in training camp for Q to finally get it down, which shows his athleticism. Well, Zach Edey doesn't do that. When do you ever see him go out and blitz a player or tag a player? You don't. Right? They want to keep him around the basket as much as possible as a rim protector. Luka Garza of Iowa was the National Player of the Year a couple of years ago. Luka Garza had terrific footwork in the post. And he had the ability to step out, especially on the wing, and hit a three-point shot. College three-pointer. And he was like the 53rd pick of the draft. He's been a G League guy. Now, we want to congratulate Andrew Funk. Andrew Funk is now with the Chicago Bulls organization, and he signed a two-way contract. He didn't just sign a G League contract. He signed a two-way contract, which means he is guaranteed to play in the NBA. He'll play some in the G League, but he has to. That contract means he has to play some games with the Bulls as well. I am so thrilled for him. I just saw him last month. He and Jalen Pickett were at the Penn State-Michigan State game. All right, and he was doing really well. It was great to see him. I am thrilled for him. Thrilled for him that he gets this opportunity. Because, again, he's one of the 17 players on the roster, which means he has a two-way contract. So, like Seth Lundy, Lundy has to play a certain amount of games with the Atlanta Hawks and has to play a certain amount of games in the G League. Andrew's now in that spot with the Bulls. That is great for him. We'll wrap it up in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Yep, Andrew Funk, slice of Bucknell and a slice of Penn State. At some point, he will be on the Chicago Bulls roster, because as a two-way deal, you are guaranteed being on the major league roster at some point, and you have to do it X amount of times. And that came out yesterday, which was great. So, yeah.
Shows if you have one discernible skill, they can, and you're good at it, they'll find a way to get you into the NBA.
Well, you know what really makes him special as a shooter? It's his release. He's a great shooter to begin with, but his release. You need to, if you're going to be an outstanding shooter that can get their own shot, you either have to have the movement that gets you to a spot before the other guy, or you need to have a combination of just enough speed to get there and a release they can't get to. His release, among the Penn State players that have been here, and of course, Doug knows all about this from his time at Bucknell because he spent the vast majority of his career at Bucknell, but the one season at Penn State, that's what struck me. It may be in the 42 years I've done Penn State basketball, that's the quickest release I've seen. Like, boom, bang. And with depth. He had a shot against Indiana in the Big Ten semifinals last year. It was like 30 feet. And I think I said, you know, you, in those moments, you say things. They said, I think that was from the Willis Tower. but, yeah, so I'm thrilled for him. He can't ask for a nicer guy. I mean, he's that means Penn State will have Lamar Stevens with Memphis, Seth Lundy with Atlanta, Jalen Pickett with Denver, and Andrew Funk with Chicago. In my lifetime, there have never been four Penn State players at the same time playing in the NBA. Never. In my lifetime. Wow.
And that makes there that means there's two Bucknell players in the NBA, which is probably hasn't happened in your lifetime either, nor
right.
mine.
Yeah. What, between Mike and Andrew?
Yeah.
Yeah, Mike Muscala we're talking about. Yeah, which is, that's great. Just great. Yeah. More the merrier. Means a lot, because you want to be able to, whether it's John Griffin at Bucknell or your Mike Rhodes at Penn State, you still want to be able to tell somebody you're recruiting, hey, by the way, you can get to the league from here. John can tell them that with Mike Muscala and Andrew in the league. He can tell the players, you can get to the league from Bucknell. And Mike can look at guys, you know, like Bones Highland was a first-round pick. He played for Mike at VCU. But from Penn State, he'd say, look, Jalen Pickett's there, Andrew Funk's there, Seth Lundy's there, and Lamar Stevens is there. Says, and they all played here in the last 5 years. Right? You can get to the NBA from Penn State. Today's show has been brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.